If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warmer from the above, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a terrific podcast for you guys. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Javon Alford. He does great work over at Sporting News. I know that he's had a lot of success taking a look at player props as far this season in Major League Baseball, so we're going to dive into what has all been working for him in terms of player prop market, what he's all diving into, and sometimes if it's better to be taking a look at fading a specific pitcher slash team or just looking back at superstar as well. So we're going to be having that discussion there and diving into a few games for Monday with him as well in segment number two in the final segment. A little bit of a small slate, just eight games on the betting board for Monday, but give you guys picks and analysis on all eight of those as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Otherwise, sign an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, but had a fun day of baseball on Sunday. Let's dive in, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. The Oakland A's lost by multiple runs again. 7-5 the final, and if you've bet the Oakland A's on the run line this year, they have been rather putrid as they have lost on the run line 39 times, as you'd be 22-39 if you bet them getting a run and a half in every single game. They're now 12-49 straight up, and for Sandy Alcantara, reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, this was just sad. He gave up 5 runs over the course of 7 innings. A little bit unlucky on the balls in play, but man, not great. As the Oakland A's actually went 4-5 with runners in scoring position and still lost by multiple runs as Paul Blackburn walked the plank, giving up 5 runs over the course of 5 innings, including a home run to Garrett Cooper, 6th home run season. From there, you had Ken Waldachuk lend 1 2/3 innings scoreless, but Austin Pruitt gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in his 2/3 of an inning of work. Sam Moll got a pair of outs out of the bullpen, and for Miami, you had Tanner Scott, Dylan Floro close things out in the 8th and 9th inning for the Marlins to go to 32-28, which I do think that we might be seeing a little bit of regression from them. As for the Marlins, you do want to be keeping note that with their winning record, they currently have a negative 37 run differential and not necessarily a great bullpen. The Philadelphia Phillies, they were able to show some power on Sunday. They take it to the Washington Nationals by a count of 11-3. Ranger Suarez, his best start of the season, did allow 8 hits, but gives up just 1 run over the course of 7 innings. Connor Brogdon did allow a home run, giving up 2 runs in total over the course of his inning, as you had Eliermo Vargas get a 2nd home run of the season for the Nationals. Jeff Hoffman, a scoreless inning, but how about the display of power that we saw from the Philadelphia Phillies? Drew Ellis got 2 home runs in this game, his 1st and 2nd of the campaign. Kyle Schwarber, 2 home runs 14th and 15th of the season, and JT Realmuto is 5th. For Realmuto, went deep off of Trevor Williams, who allowed 2 of those home runs, 4 runs in total over the course of 5 2/3 innings, and then the bullpen got lit the heck up. Thaddeus Ward gives up a home run, 3 runs in his inning of work. Mason Thompson, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless, but Andrés Machado, in his inning of work, gives up a pair of bombs, giving up 4 runs himself. So that was a little bit of an issue. The Blue Jays are able to take it to the Mets once again. They're able to complete the sweep, 6-4 the finals. The Mets back at 500. As for the Metropolitans, Kodai Senga did not last long in this game. Gives up 4 runs, 3 of which were earned, as he walked 5 in 2 2/3 innings, giving up a home run along the way to Vlad Guerrero Jr. 9th home run season, Brandon Belt. A little bit later on, he would go deep off of Dominic Leon for his 3rd home run season. For Leon, he gives up 2 runs over the course of 1 1/3 innings. Drew Smith, Jeff Brigham, both landed scoreless innings. And Steven Gosich, good long relief, 3 scoreless innings. And for the Mets, you were able to get 4 solo home runs for all 4 of their runs. As Pete Alonso, league leading 21st home run season. Tommy Pham, he gets home runs 4 and 5 of the season, both off of Yusei Kikuchi. And Alonso's home run came off of Nate Pearson. Starling Marte took Pearson deep, his 3rd home run season. For Pearson, gives up 2 solo home runs over the course of his inning of work. Yusei Kikuchi gives up 2 home runs, but just 2 runs over the course of 5 innings. From there, Adam Simber, Jordan Romano, Eric Swanson, all able to lend a scoreless inning. You saw the LA Angels get it done in a tight one, 2-1. They are able to get the win over the Houston Astros. As for the Houston Astros, this was a relatively solid performance from one Mr. J.P. France. As France, he delivers 7 innings. He gives up 1 run. That 1 run was a solo home run, as Luis Renifo gets his 3rd home run season. But Phil Maton gives up a run in an inning. Brian Abreu, scoreless inning. But the Astros, they just were not able to get to Griffin Canning in this one, who allowed a solo home run over the course of 6 innings. As it was home run number 3 of the season for the backup first baseman and Yennier Diaz, who I believe has caught a little bit as well. But also had Chris Savinski, Carlos Estevez. They come in for 3 scoreless innings to be able to stem the tide. The top over team in all of baseball right now is the Tampa Bay Rays, but they played a rare under. And the number 2 team to the over is the Boston Red Sox. 6-2. The Rays are able to get this one done as Taj Bradley continues to be very solid for the Tampa Bay Rays. 2 runs surrendered in 5 innings, and the bullpen was able to pick it up. Sean Armstrong, 2 scoreless innings. Jake Diekman, Robert Stevenson, they piecemeal together 2 scoreless as well. For the Rays, they go just 2 of 12 with men in scoring position, as Tanner Houck, he gives up 4 runs over the course of 5 innings. He's been quite unlucky this year, but 4 walks were very costly to him. Corey Kluber is out coming in out of the bullpen, and he's looking like starter Corey Kluber, giving up 2 runs in 2 innings before Caleb Ort, 2 scoreless innings. But Tampa Bay Rays able to just maintain that league-best record up to now 42-19. The Cleveland Guardians continue to not give you too many runs, but they get the job done against the Minnesota Twins. 2-1 the final is. For Cleveland, no home runs. They go just 1 of 2 with men in scoring position, but Tristan McKenzie, season debut was masterful. Gives up 1 hit, 1 walk, 10 punch-outs, and 5 scoreless innings. James Karinchak, Trevor Steven, they both lend a scoreless inning. And Yadier Dos Santos does give up a solo home run, going deep for Minnesota. Willie Castro, 5th home run season by Manny Class A, closes it down with a scoreless 9th inning. As for the Twins, Joe Ryan, a tough luck loser. 2 runs surrendered in 6 2/3 innings. Just 2 hits allowed in this game. Caleb Theobar, he gets it out of the bullpen before you have Griffin Jacks along with Jose De Leon. Both lend a scoreless inning, but just nothing doing with the bats. Nothing doing with the bats in Pirates versus Cardinals. DK Nation right up pick gets there as the Pirates now scored 4 runs or fewer in 23 out of their last 29 games, but they do just enough to get it done by a count of 2-1 as for the Pittsburgh Pirates. An RBI single in the first inning is all they got. Austin Kneiser went deep off of Rich Hill in the 7th inning. He was able to get home run number 5 of the season. As for Hill, he gives up just his home run over the course of 6 2/3 innings. From there, Jordi Barreta and out of the bullpen, Yoan Ramirez, David Benar, both landed scoreless inning. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, tough luck loss for Miles Michaelis. Gives up 2 runs over the course of 5 innings. He did allow 10 hits, but he was able to do a great job of stranding him on as the Pirates. They go 2 of 9 with men in scoring position. From their Genesis, Cabrera, Jordan Nix, they combine to lend 3 scoreless innings, but just not a lot of offense to be had in that one. The Milwaukee Brewers hold down the Cincinnati Reds to 1 run, 5-1. The Brewers get it done. Adrian Hauser did not look like Doogie. He gave up a solo run over the course of 7 innings. Jake Fraley, 7th home run season. Elvis Biggio, Peter Strzelecki, they were both able to lend a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Cincinnati Reds, Ben Lively, he was very lively at giving up homers. He went 7 innings but gave up 5 runs, including a home run to Victor Carantini, his 3rd home run season. And then home run number one of the career of Andrew Morosito, but he had to leave this game early due to an injury. So that was a little bit rough from there. You did have Fernando Cruz along with Ian Gabeau both be able to lend a scoreless inning. The third best team to the under right now in all of baseball is Colorado, and they did their part for the under as they scored 0 runs, 2-0. The Kansas City Royals were able to avoid a home sweep at the hands of the Colorado Rockies, which would have been truly been awful. But I mean, for Kyle Freeland, he pitched well. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 7 innings, including a home run. Going deep was Mikel Garcia for home run number one of the season, but Brady Singer had the Colorado Rockies singing the blues. 7 punch-outs, 5 2/3 innings scoreless. Taylor Clark, 1 1/3 innings scoreless before Aroldis Chapman. Scott Barlow, they're both able to come in for a scoreless inning as the Rockies, they had 8 hits. They just weren't able to do anything at all with them. The Texas Rangers take it to the Seattle Mariners once again. 12-3 the final as the Texas Rangers have now scored a combined 28 runs in their last 2 games for the Seattle Mariners. Bryce Miller got completely destroyed, giving up 7 runs while getting 7 outs. He allowed a home run along the way. Going deep for the Texas Rangers, Corey Seager, 6th home run season, then Jonah Heim, 7th home run season. He was able to take Trevor Gott deep, who he got, for lack of a better term, giving up that home run. 5 runs in total over the course of an inning. Matt Brash, Gabe Spire, they both were able to give you 1 1/3 inning scoreless, and Matt Festa and Justin Topa both went to scoreless inning, but boy, had that damage been done. And for the Texas Rangers, Nathan Eovaldi continues to be terrific. 6 scoreless innings, giving up 1 hit along the way. From there, you did have Jonathan Hernandez give up 3 runs and 2/3 of an inning, but Brock Burke, 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless, and John King able to offer up a scoreless inning as well. The Arizona Diamondbacks were doomed by the Atlanta Braves, 8-5 the final, as Zach Gallen lends a pretty terrific start here. 3 runs, 2 of which were earned, given up in 6 innings. Does heighten his ERA from like 0.77 at home, but you know what, he did his part. As for the Atlanta Braves, going deep off of him, Ozzie Albies, 12th home run season, but then you had Eddie Rosario hit a grand slam in the 9th inning, his 8th of the season. That comes off of Miguel Castro, who gave up all 4 of those runs. Andrew Chafin, Scott McGough, they both went an inning, as Chafin did allow a run in his inning. Austin Adam, he had to get the final out of that 9th inning, but for the Diamondbacks, in vain was a pair of home runs off of Mike Soroka. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, 9th home run season. Corbin Carroll's 10th for the Atlanta Braves. Mike Soroka, brutal. 5 runs surrendered in 3 2/3 innings. From there, the bullpen at his back. A.J. Minter, a pair of outs out of the bullpen. Rossy Iglesias, a scoreless inning. Colin McHugh, 1 1/3 inning scoreless. And A.J. Smith Schwarber, hopefully I said that correctly, young 20-year-old, made his MLB debut. 2 1/3 inning scoreless to be able to keep the Atlanta Braves in striking distance. The Baltimore Orioles continue to be very good with their offense on the road. They're actually scoring the 2nd most runs per game on the road thus far this season, 8-3. They take it to the San Francisco Giants as the main form of power for this team. Home run off the bat of James McCann, his 3rd home run season. That's a well-traveled man. He goes deep off of Jacob Junis, who allowed that 1 home run over the course of 3 innings. He had to come in because Anthony DeSclafani did not have it on this day. 6 runs, 5 of which were earned over the course of 3 innings. From there, you did have an unearned run given up in an inning by Luke Jackson. You also did have a scoreless inning out of Taylor Rogers, one of the Rogers brothers, and Ryan Walker was able to end a scoreless inning as well. But all in all, you were able to get a pretty solid performance of Tyler Wells for the Orioles, who continues to pitch. Wells giving up 2 runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings. Going deep for the San Francisco Giants, Blake Sabol, his 7th home run season. From there, Mike Bauman allows a run in 1 2/3 innings, but Yennier Cano, Austin Voth, they hold down the fort, being able to lend a scoreless inning apiece. The best under team in all of baseball is the San Diego Padres, and well, they pitch another under. 7-1, the Chicago Cubs, they get it done. As for the Cubs, well, it was them that really got this under, because Marcus Stroman gave up 1 unearned run over the course of 6 innings, continues to be masterful on the road. From there, Julian Merriweather, Michael Fulmer, Brandon Hughes all lend a scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Cubs, they were able to get a trio of home runs as Yan Gomes gets a 7th home run season off of Ryan Weathers. Ryan Weathers also gave one up to Trey Boom Boom Mancini, his 4th home run season. And Miguel Amaya was able to get his 1st home run season. That comes off of Drew Carlton. As for Weathers, he was not able to weather the storm, giving up those 2 home runs. 5 runs given up and 5 outs. Drew Carlton from there gives up 2 runs in 3 1/3 innings, but Domingo Tapia, 3 scoreless innings. Tom Cosgrove, scoreless inning against the Padres. Bullpen continues to be terrific. Rahm has been the starting pitching, and the team going 0-6 with Ben in scoring position as they're hitting below the Mendell's line of 200 with runners in scoring position thus far this season. They are looking to become the first team in MLB history to, for the entirety of the season, hit below 200 with men in scoring position. The Chicago White Sox are able to get it done with a walk-off grand slam against the Detroit Tigers. 6-2 the final. So if you took alternate run lines with the Detroit Tigers, I do apologize. As Matthew Boyd, good start here, gives up 1 run over the course of 5 innings. Will Vest, he gives up a run in his inning. Tyler Holton, Jason Foley, they combined for 2 scoreless innings. And then Alex Lang loaded up the bases, and he gave up a walk-off grand slam to Mr. Jake Berger, his 12th home run season. Michael Kopech, a solid start, giving up 2 runs over the course of 7 innings, including a home run to Spencer Torkelson, 5th home run season. From there, Joe Kelly, Liam Hendricks, scoreless inning apiece, and for Liam Hendricks, he gets the win, his first win since coming back from cancer. Very good story there. And then on Sunday Night Baseball, the New York Yankees get it done by a count of 4-1 against the LA Dodgers. This was a good pitching performance by one Domingo Herman, as he goes 6 2/3 innings. He does allow a solo home run to J.D. Martinez, his 14th of the season, but that was it. And I mean, this was a good performance for Bobby Miller. 6 scoreless innings. Bullpen from there lets him down. Broussard Gradual gives up an unearned run, hurt by his own fielding error, so still on him. Evan Phillips, he's been the fold for a little bit. He gives up a run in an inning, but then you have Caleb Ferguson. Allowed 2 runs in his inning of work, including home run to Anthony Volpe, 9th home run of the season. Clay Holmes was able to tie it down for an inning. And then Wandy Peralta, 1 1/3 inning scoreless. We saw big steam move with Aaron Judge getting the day off. And even though it was Aaron Judge's day off, the Yankees, they were on. And what else has been on is taking a look at the trends of baseball recently. His favorites are starting to have a little bit of a better run of it. They were really miserable a few weeks ago, but now over the last 3 days, 226, 177 straight up. That's a hit rate of about 56.1%. Meanwhile, if you're taking a look at the run line, they have had a rough time there, failing to cover 66 of those wins. Unders, they are really taking hold. 204 unders, 188 overs over the last 3 days. And then you take a look at the last 7 days, 53 unders to 37 overs. That is a 59% hit rate to the under. Meanwhile, favorites over the last 7 days, 52 and 39 straight up. Just 12 of those favorites being unable to cover the run line. And overall for the season, favorites are 515 and 374, with these favorites having a really difficult time with that run line. 138 have failed to cover the run line. And overall for the season, unders starting to take a bigger and bigger lead. 436 unders to 425 overs. That's 50.6% of games going under thus far this season. So that's what we all saw in Major League Baseball on Sunday, and that's what we're getting trend-wise in Major League Baseball. Coming up next, let's take a look at the prop market, as a man that does a very solid job on that front is Javon Alford of Sporting News. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be taking a look at Monday's games and why sometimes the best thing to bet is just merely fading the teams that have been oh-so-fadable this year. That is up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their NBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And it is great to be joined by this man as Javon Alford does absolutely tremendous work over at Sporting News, taking a look at so many different things, and a lot of different things from a betting perspective. I know that he's doing a great job taking a look at the NBA Finals, the WNBA, and then I know that he's doing an absolutely terrific job on the MLB front as well, mostly doing a lot of player props, which we're going to be diving into that in a minute, as well as to be able to follow Jovan on Twitter. That is at Jovan and the number 10. That is J-O-V-A-N and then the number 10. And Jovan, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, I'm always glad to be on the show. Great. Can't wait.
I love having you aboard. And Jovan, we're now a little bit north of 2 months through the season. Most of these teams, they've been able to play about 55 or so games. What sort of props have really been profitable for you? Because I know that you've been able to take a look at quite a few different ones. You've been taking a look at everything from total bases, obviously, with more of the home run props. Those are smaller sprinkles when it comes to taking a look at bigger plus prices, because that's a little bit harder to be able to gauge. But what's really been working out for you in the player prop market thus far this season?
For me, player prop wise, like you mentioned, total base props, I think, you know, for baseball bettors that want to get involved in betting, and from a player prop standpoint, I think total bases is a very good way to go. And it's a fun model, right? Because most of these guys that you're betting on, you know, even the star players, right? Like a Trout or Ohtani, instead of betting on their home run sometime, even though it's so tempting, especially when it's like Dinger Tuesday, and you get it for like plus 400 for a dinger. So most of the times you're getting, you know, star players, you know, at, you know, plus 100, plus 120 for over two and a half, for over 1.5 total bases, which means you only need one extra base hit or two hits, you know, to cash this. So total base props have been fun for me, you know, to play, just because there's so many guys on any given day that can have like plus money and fine value, or even the guys, you know, that are over, you know, a half total base, which is they just need a hit, you know. So total base props has been fun for me, and also earned run props for pitchers. I've found that market to be a little bit more profitable than K props, just because the market on K props is just so up and down with a lot of guys in the odds. You got to kind of jump on them quickly. Earn run props for certain pitchers like a Jordan Lyles, or even a bunch of like Oakland A's pitchers like Luis Medina, Waldichuk, or Muller. Like those type of pitchers, you can find a ton of value on playing their earn run props, even though you might be paying like minus 125, minus 135, minus 140. You can easily get these, because these guys, you know, for as much talent that they may have, a lot of these guys are giving up a lot of runs, you know, early on in their outing. So total base props and even earned run props have been pretty fun for me, you know, to play on this early part of baseball season.
And I know that so many people, they love to be able to take a look at the star players. They love to be able to dive into these really prolific lineups. But how much of it is a circumstance of just the team that they're going up against? Like, I know something that has been very chic the last few seasons is betting stolen bases against Noah Thor Syndergaard, because he is just so terrible at checking in on runners. I mean, it's too bad that John Lester is still not out there, because he could never throw to first base. So I wish that that was the case a few seasons ago, but that said, beggars can't be choosers. But how much do you take a look at just the opposing pitcher, the opposing team in general, rather than trying to target like a star player or two?
Yeah, I think that definitely plays a role, right? Like you mentioned, Syndergaard, my guy Adam Rosenberg, he put me on to the whole, you know, getting the stolen base props on Thor. And if you've been following, you know, you've been betting against Thor on stolen bases, you're pretty good. But certain lineups, certain pitchers, like I mentioned, Jordan Lyles, right? I forgot the stat. I think I saw ESPN.
I've got it for you. He is 0-12 this year, and the Royals have lost 11 of those 12 losses by multiple runs. He is so bad.
You know how everybody last year was like, it's Patrick Corbin Day, right? We can't wait for Corbin Day. Well, it's become, this season has been like Jordan Lyles Day. Every fifth day he's been on the mound. So guys like Jordan Lyles, and even the Athletics, you know, they got a win against Sandy Alcantara.
No, they lost. They lost by two runs. Oh,
there you go. So, I mean, for an example, right, the Oakland A's, that's another team, right, that on a given day you're looking at the money line price, you know, against the opposition of the going against, you're looking, what, minus 200, minus 250, and you're like, I don't know if I want to do that. Sometimes, again, like I said, earn run props against the total, against the pitcher, or even taking that run line. I know, I want to say it was yesterday's game, Saturday, I think I caught the line for that game. I think it was Medina versus Yuri Perez, their young starter for the Marlins. I think I got the earned run prop in for Medina over 2.5. And then I caught the run line for the Marlins, I think, at like minus 1.5, like plus 120. Hammered it, because I'm just like, all right, I'm going to get the Medina one, and hopefully things just blow wide open and I'll easily cash the run line, and was able to do that. So there are pitchers and there are lineups, you know, that you can really, you know, take advantage and just exploit if you do it correctly.
Oh, and I'm right there with you, because one of the biggest things that I found in this baseball season is that it just feels like there's really two free bases on the board right now. It's Javon Alford, who does great work over at Sporting News, is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And that's the fact that you know that the Royals and the Oakland A's are going to lose. Now, you're not going to cash every single one of your bets. I'm not saying that this is like 100% or anything like that. You're going to take your losses here and there. But with the Oakland A's at the Kansas City Royals, you just keep betting against these teams for any sort of a sustained period of 2+ weeks. And I feel like you're going to be able to make money, whether that be on the player prop market, whether that be on money lines, run lines, totals, what have you. I mean, these two teams are just so bad, and it's got to be a gift that keeps on giving. And sometimes I think the most important thing when it comes to sports bettors is not necessarily chasing that big plus money, not trying to take a long shot or something like that. Just take the profit that is available to you, and the A's and the Royals betting against them has been a profit all year long.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that's the smartest advice you can give people, right? Like, don't go out and chase the value. Like, if you see it there, take it, right? If you see something that says this looks pretty straight on, just take it, you know, because you just don't know. Because again, we all have the numbers, the stats, the trends that says things might happen this way, but you just never know, right? Because the game still has to be played. So I 100% agree with you there.
We're not going to get a whole bunch of clicks being like, here's a shocker, I'm going against the Oakland A's today. It's like,
right.
Everyone clicking is going to be like, way to go, genius. I couldn't figure that out myself, but you know what? I mean, if it cashes, it doesn't matter how many people in the world are on it, in my opinion. And Javon, we do need to bring up this team as well. They're a more respectable team, but it's been a little bit rough for them this season. I know that you're out there in the Pennsylvania area, and it's the Philadelphia Phillies. They're going to be on Monday taking on the Detroit Tigers. Joey Wentz versus Aaron Nola in terms of pitching matchup. What do you make out of the Phillies right now? And is there anything that you'd be taking a look at on this one? Because the Phillies are a demonstrative favorite of a little bit north of $2 with a total of 9. And what I think has been interesting with the Phillies is that they've done a solid job of being able to get on base. But I mean, if you've been looking at home run props on anyone not named Kyle Schwarber, has not been going too well for you for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, things have not gone right for the Phillies. And it's a combination of inconsistent pitching and inconsistent hitting and injuries. And all those things have kind of reared its ugly head through the early part of the season. But it's June, right? So things hopefully might start to turn around. They just wrapped up their 10-game NL East road trip, taking 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. So you hope things turn around. Schwarber hit 2 home runs against the Nats in that series, which, you know, Schwarber is the month of June for some reason. He always turns it around. So hopefully they can continue to take that into a Tigers team who, surprisingly, I think probably to all of us, have played pretty competent baseball this season, despite, you know, missing a lot of key guys, you know, specifically in their rotation, but having guys, you know, step up like Eduardo Rodriguez, who's, you know, going on the IL, but still having guys like him step up. I mean, even the lineup is not the greatest of lineups, right? Compared to what the Phillies have, you look at the Tigers, it's not the greatest of lineups, but somehow these guys still find, you know, ways, you know, to produce and ways to get runs and just get guys, you know, across the board. So for me, if I'm looking at this Phillies-Tigers game, I know the run line might be popular, might be a good play for the total game, but I would probably look at something in the first 5. I would think maybe look at that total runs at over 4.5 for that first 5 run line, just because we know Aaron Nola, he's capable of, you know, sometimes imploding early and not having his command early, which could be an opportunity for the Tigers, you know, their big bats, you know, maybe a Torkelson, maybe a Riley Green, you know, to run into one. Maybe Nick Maton, the former Philly, maybe he can run into one. And I think the Phillies can take advantage of Joey Wentz. I know he had a pretty good start recently, but this is a guy, again, who I think the Phillies can take advantage of. They can, you know, get some runs off of. And it could, I think this game could be a high-scoring game overall. You're looking at Wentz, right? 7.28 ERA. Again, I know he pitched well in his last start, but you're talking about a guy with an 8.47 ERA and a 3.15 opponent's batting average. So I might look at that first 5 run total at over 4.5.
Yeah, but I think it might be interesting as well as perhaps the Phillies do all the damage by themselves, and perhaps this is the get-right spot for Aaron Nola going up against a Detroit Tigers team that's currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game on the road. And for our good friend Joey Wentz, he just laid it out, has not been going so savory for him recently. And I do think that it is interesting to take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays as well, because as we know, they have been lighting it up in terms of home runs, in terms of just being able to get runs up on the board in general. And now they've got Jay McClanahan on the mound, because the biggest thing for the Tampa Bay Rays is that they are dealing with some pitching issues. They have been dealing with a lot of guys going on the IL. Shane McClanahan has been that steady Eddie constant for them, and they're going up against Brian Bello of the Red Sox, who's been able to turn around a little bit more recently. I like the way that he's rounded into form. He's given up 200 runs or fewer in each of his last five, but I do think that with the Tampa Bay Rays, they once again present value in pretty much a hitter's paradise in Fenway for them.
Yeah, this is a game that I kind of went back and forth, because I'm like, all right, McClanahan's playing well. But then, like you mentioned, Bello, right? A lot of people just remember, you know, what he did last season, has his struggles last season. Obviously, his first couple starts last season in the majors. But like you said, it seemed like he's, you know, starting to figure some things out, which is good news for the Red Sox. So I went back and forth in this game for this game. Could there be a world where, you know, you take that the Rays just come out and just beat up on Bello and they coast clean victory? Yeah, but I think there also could be a way where, you know, that Red Sox run line at minus 120 for plus at plus 1.5, you know, that could be a good play here. I think this game is going to be fun. I will also probably look at player props in this game as well. You know, Verdugo has been hitting the ball really well. And Yoshida, he's also been really good for total base props as well. Even though McClanahan's on the mound, I think they can still squeeze off a couple of hits off of him.
I do think that they're going to be able to get a few in for the Red Sox. They actually have the most demonstrative home and road splits of any team in the big leagues, even bigger than that of the Colorado Rockies. So been interesting to look at that. As joining me on the show, we do have Javon Alford, who does great work at Sporting News. And Javon, is there anything else that you are going to be taking a look at on the Monday slate? I know that it's a little bit tough because player props, they really don't go up until super duper late at night / early in the AM. But is there any other game that catches your eye, whether it be just in terms of the regular money line / total, or maybe a pitcher that you're looking to back / fade?
For me, for Monday, you mentioned this team already, but I'm going to go back to this team because they're playing on Monday. A's, Pirates. I'm liking right now the F5 total under 4.5 runs, which might be shocking, right? Because you look at, you got Johan Oviedo on the mound for the Pirates, and you got JP Sears on the mound for the A's. Sears, 5.97 ERA on the road. Oviedo, 4.4 ERA at home, just screams this should be an over anyway, just based off these guys' splits. However, you look at both of them, they pitched really well in their last four starts. Oviedo, you know, has only allowed one earned run in three out of his last four. And then Sears, you're looking at two earned runs or less in four straight starts. So I know, like I said, based off of ERAs, this people might think, and obviously we talked about the Athletics and how bad they've been, it might be a spot where people say, hey, man, you look at the Pirates, you know, all roster, they got some guys that could hit. Maybe they can get the Sears early and, you know, try to blow them out early. But I think this could be a spot where, you know, both where we could see an under involved in both of these guys are pitching the way that they know that they can and have been over the last couple of weeks. So that's the game I'm looking out for. And we don't have probably the line for pitching prop line for this already, but probably I'll be looking for is Andrew Abbott. He's making his major league debut for the Reds, another young arm coming up. You know how many young arms do the Reds have at this point? They're going to add another one to Andrew Abbott. It was always interesting for me, especially seeing, you know, when these young guys come up, whether they be hitters or pitchers, how the market kind of gauges, you know, where their prop line will be for Keith. Wu just made his debut, on Saturday? And I think his prop line was over 3.5. And I think he had 3 strikeouts in the first inning despite giving up 3 runs. So I'm interested to see if Abbott, if we get that 3 or maybe that, you know, 4.5, then it could be pretty good. Because I think in the minors, he has
12 strikeouts for 9 innings. Yeah. He's been a machine.
Yeah, he's been good. So I'll be interested to see if we get that 3.5 or 4.5. And if either of those, I'm definitely going to take it because, hey, we're seeing right now with a lot of these guys, like I said, pitchers and hitters, a lot of these guys come up into the majors. They're fast track, but they're also really good, you know, at the ages that they are.
Absolutely. And I do think that we are going to be seeing the Reds put up a good effort against the Milwaukee Brewers on Monday. As for the Brewers, they actually entered into the series fewest runs per game in the National League, and Abbott has been mowing them down in the minor leagues, just like you're mowing down winning bets, Javon. You do an absolutely terrific job over at Sporting News. Take a look at so many different things. I know that this is prime time for you for baseball, but I know you do a great job on the NBA, WNBA front as well. Obviously, when football comes around, you're going to be set there as well. So let the good people at home You know, it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, man. Again, appreciate you for having me on. Yeah, again, Sport News have a lot of different things, whether it be baseball, NBA, WNBA, USFL season's wrapping up. CFL is about to start soon. So a lot of stuff over there. And then always Total Sports Live, Total Sports Live podcast with me and Harrison Brown, breaking down everything in Philadelphia sports. Also, anything else that happens in the world of sports, interviews with, you know, players and just people just in sports. So make sure people check out that as well. So always, again, appreciate you having me.
And always appreciate you, Javon. Javon does a terrific job taking a look at so many different sports, being able to find some winners in so many different markets. And every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insight. So a big thanks, Javon Alford, for joining me right here on the Baseball Winning Show, now part of the Beast and Family podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this MLB Monday as we touch them all.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities
and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Was great to be able to get Jovan Alford aboard. He does an amazing job over at Sporting News, taking a look at all things sports betting. Does a great job on the baseball front. I know that he's been doing a lot with both the NBA and the WNBA, and every single time he joins this show, does tremendous work, and it's always a pleasure to get him aboard. A big thanks to Javon for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this MLB Monday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @GUnit_D1. We are going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games. Any interleague games are going to be at the bottom, except the Rays versus Red Sox game is actually going to be the last game because it was a game that was rained out, so it was added to the board, and when you get an added game, it gets added straight to the bottom, so that's why that is going to be the last game. So let's get things started with 901, 902 on the betting board. It is the Milwaukee Brewers, and they hit the road to face off against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and the Brewers are on to Julio Teheran being able to get the start, and Andrew Abbott makes his MLB debut for the Cincinnati Reds, and the Reds, they are a very slight favorite. You're going to be finding them in the neighborhood of about a minus 110 to a minus 115 favorite. Anywhere between minus 110 to a plus 104 is your number on the Brewers. 9.5 is the total. The over is between minus 115 to a minus 120, and the under is anywhere between even and minus 105. And I did set Mr. Abbott as a minus 120 favorite. Julio Teheran has actually been very good in his first two starts with the Milwaukee Brewers, as he's allowed just one run in these two starts. I do think that this is built on sand a little bit. He has gotten a grand total of 5 strikeouts in 11 innings. He has been very lucky on balls in play in general. Now the walks, he's been able to control those, but if you look at him throughout his career, his walks per 9 rate is north of 3, and he has had north of 4 walks per 9 innings in every year since the 2017 season. So I do think that there's going to be a little bit of regression. Meanwhile, Andrew Abbott is someone that really rose up in the farm system of the Cincinnati Reds, and he's a really good prospect. I mean, he was getting right in the neighborhood about 15 strikeouts per 9 innings at the minor league level thus far this season. Last year, he had 13 strikeouts per 9 innings. So that was at Dayton, and then when he got called up to Double-A, that was more on 12 punch-outs per 9 innings. But all in all, I really do like this kid. He was at Virginia a few years ago on a team that was able to make a deep run in Omaha, and having watched him, I do think that he's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Julio Teheran, and you've got a Cincinnati Reds bullpen that it's not terrible, it's not great. Alexis Diaz is a solid closer. Devin Williams on the flip side for the Brewers, you know that he's one of the best in the game, so both of those guys somewhat cancel out. Meanwhile, the likes of Ian Gaboa, Buck Farmer, they've been a little bit up and down, but I mean, Buck Farmer especially has been a little bit of a nice surprise for the team. The Reds, they're right around 16th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. The Brewers, they're 18th as Brewers have Elvis Piguero along Joe Pineups, giving you a sub-3.5 ERA, but the likes of Trevor McGill and company have been a little bit of an issue. And for the Brewers, I know that they had that tremendous outburst on Saturday, and they have been able to score 5-plus runs in every game of the series, but you still have question marks with this lineup. You still have Willy Adames out of the fold. And, you know, Owen Miller has been the most reliable guy at being able to move the line, inning north of a 300 this far this season. You do have Christian Yelich now providing about a 350 on base, but then you've got sort of like Rowdy Tellez, William Contreras, Brian Anderson between about a 325 to a 340 on base. Tellez has been able to give you 12 home runs. And for the Brewers overall, they are a top 10 team in the big leagues in terms of home runs per game. Less than a home run per game on the road, though. And for the Cincinnati Reds, they're right down there with Washington Nationals in terms of fewest home runs in the National League. Spencer Steer leads the way with 8, but you do have a lot of guys that do a rock-solid job of being able to get on base. Spencer Steer, Jonathan India, both of these guys right around about a 365 on base. They are dealing with an injury to TJ Friedel, but seems like he's getting close to coming back. And in the meantime, Matt McLean has come in at the shortstop spot to be able to provide this team a 400 on base. I do think that you've got a guy in Abbott that in his first start is going to be able to do a solid job. I see regression coming with Julio Teheran, and you've got yourself a hitter's paradise. Even though the Brewers entered into the series dead last in terms of runs per game on the road, they've been able to get some runs here, and I do think that they're going to be able to do so once again. So this is a total that I did set at a 10.1. I'm going to be looking at the over, but with Andrew Abbott, I think they deliver a good first start. Willing to lay up to a minus 120 with them. So looking at the Reds and the over in this spot, 903, 904 on the betting board. It is the San Diego Padres, and they play us the Chicago Cubs. The professor, Kyle Hendricks, goes for the Cubs, and Blake Snell is on the bump or the Padres. And the total on this game is 8. The over and the under are both at minus 110 with pods. They're anywhere between minus 160 to minus 170 favorites, between plus 140 and plus 154. Your number on the Cubs, and I need at least a plus 183. Take a shot on the Cubs. You're finding that San Diego Padres run line anywhere between about a plus 120 to a plus 125, and I'm going to be one to take it. For the Padres, Blake Snell just has not been good for them in general, but I mean, Kyle Hendricks has been even worse. Began the season on the injured list. He's not someone that is going to give you a whole heck of a lot of swing and miss. The 8 strikeouts and 9 and a third innings, I think, is a little bit of a flash in the pan. Last start against the Tampa Bay Rays was good, but overall for his career, he's always had his struggles on the road. Now, these have been rectified a little bit later on during his career, and with Kyle Hendricks, the one thing that you know with him is that he's not going to give out a lot of walks. He has yet to give up a walk thus far this season. Granted, it's a small sample size, 9 and a third innings, so let's keep that in mind. But whenever he hits the road, and this is going to be a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark, so that is going to help him out. He is a little bit of a fly ball pitcher, so pitching at Petco, that does help. But whenever he hits the road, it's always been a little bit of an issue. 3.86 road ERA compared to a 3.09 home ERA, and for some reason, he seems to lose a little bit more command when he's on the road as well. Strikeouts to walk ratio is a little bit north of 4 at home, more like a 3.3 on the road. Meanwhile, for Blake Snell, throughout his career, he's been posting up about a point and a half better on his ERA when he's been in San Diego rather than when he has been on the road. And for Snell, the 1-6 record is absolutely grody, and it's a byproduct of the walks that he's giving up. He is giving up darn near 5 walks per 9 innings, and this year he's actually been significantly worse at home than he has been on the road, with a 5.68 home ERA compared to a 3.52 ERA on the road. But I do think that he's going to be able to pick it up a little bit more. And you look at his last 2 starts, 1 run surrendered across 11 innings. It does feel like the wheels are starting to turn a little bit for him. And he's backed up by a San Diego Padres bullpen that they are number 1 in the big leagues in terms of ERA over the last 30 days. And over the entirety of the season, they lead the National League in terms of ERA, as you've had Tom Cosgrove be able to give you some really good innings. We all know what Josh Hader is capable of, but at the same time, you've also been able to get Steven Wilson to be able to step it up. Domingo Tapia is giving you some good innings, and it's the Chicago Cubs bullpen that has been one of the worst in the big leagues, as currently they are 26th in the big leagues in terms of ERA. Michael Fulmer has been a hot mess. Brad Boxberger is currently dealing with injuries. You have not been able to get a lot out of guys like Michael Rucker, Julian Merriweather, and company have just been absolutely terrible for this bunch. I mean, Adbert Alsley is right now perhaps your most reliable guy. Now, for the Chicago Cubs, they also do lead the National League in terms of road batting average, as they're doing a good job of moving the line. And you do have Patrick Wisdom slowly getting out 14 home runs, but he's been a little bit stagnant recently, and that batting average for him has dropped like a rock. He's hitting about a 207. They have been dealing with the injury to Cody Bellinger, though. You do have Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, C.A. Suzuki. I'll give you between about a 275 to 285 average. Among these three, you've got Suzuki and Swanson, both giving you north of a 370 on base. Chris Morel is starting to drop off after he was looking like Babe Ruth Jr. out there, but he's been able to give you some good at-bats. And for the San Diego Padres, they are going to progress when they do have runners in scoring position. They entered into the series hitting about 200 with runners in scoring position. That would be the worst batting average with runners in scoring position in the history of baseball. These guys are underachievers. They aren't as good as we thought they were coming into the season at the plate. They aren't that bad, though. And you do have Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, both with a double-figure amount of homers, both entered into yesterday, hitting right around about a 255 to 260 with Soto, providing north of a 400 on base. The big thing is the bottom of the fold, the likes of the entirety of the catcher spot, Jake Cronenworth, Rudet Odor, Matt Carpenter, hitting a 217 or worse. That has been a little bit of an issue, but I do think that they are going to be able to get to a pitcher contact guy in Kyle Hendricks, along with his very bad bullpen, and Blake Snell himself has been having some issues. I did set my total at an 8.3, so here in this circumstance, being able to get an 8, I'm going to be taking a look at the over with the Padres. I was willing to take anything of a plus 108 or greater on the run line, so looking at that run line at a plus price to go along with the over. 905, 906 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays plays the Houston Astros. Brandon Beelock is going to be on the bump for the Astros, and Alek Manoah goes for the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays, between minus 130 to minus 140 favorites, any between plus 115 and plus 125, the number on Houston. 9.5 is the total over and under, any between minus 105 to a minus 115. And I was willing to take a plus 110 or greater with Houston. I do think that Alek Manoah, despite the fact that he is quite fat right now, I wish I could put it any other way, but this guy is completely out of shape. Despite that, I do think that he's going to be able to pick it up a little bit, because right now, what is really ailing Alek Manoah is the walks. 41 walks and 57 and two-thirds innings. This guy was giving out right around 2 walks per 9 innings last season. Now, even if you hit the hot dog stand a little bit too hard, it shouldn't cause that big of a drop in command, as he has went from 2.3 walks per 9 innings to 6.4. And honestly, his 5.46 ERA better than his fielding independent of 6.27, as he's had his strikeouts per 9 rate drop to right around 7.5. That has been a little bit grody. And I'm going to say this as well. Brandon Beelock, I mean, he's doing an admirable job of filling in. This is not necessarily the guy that you want on the mound either, as for Beelock, he's been able to give you right around 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, 3.5 walks per 9 innings. He's got a 3.19 ERA. He's got a fielding independent north of 5. So both of these guys have actually pitched above their skis thus far this season. Now, with the Houston Astros, they do a better job of being able to back up Beelock in the bullpen. It's not like the Blue Jays bullpen is terrible or anything like that. They're currently 9th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. The big thing for them is that they've got a couple guys in Anthony Bass, Emi Garcia that you want no part of. They get back Adam Zimmer and Jordan Romano. It's been a little bit up and down, but I do like what I'm seeing out of Tim Mesa, Eric Swanson, a pair of guys with a sub-250 ERA. But with Houston, really, other than Rafael Montero, this entire bullpen has been able to do a good job, as you've got Phil Maton throwing there, Brian Abreu, and Hector Neris all being able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Ryan Presley is starting to pick it up a little bit more as well. So I do like the way that this bullpen is performing, and you've got to love the way that the Houston Astros have been able to come on with the bats as well. They've scored 5-plus runs in now 7 out of their last 9 games. You've got Yordan Alvarez, who's been able to do a good job with right around a 390 on base, being able to supply 15 home runs this far this season. You've got Mauricio Dubon hitting right in that pocket about a 290. Jose Altuve, ever since he's come back, has been hitting north of 275. And Alex Bregman, over the last 30 days, he's hitting right around 300, while Kyle Tucker is providing a 350 on base. So lineup is starting to come around for the team. And for the Blue Jays, you gotta feel like the power numbers are going to be there eventually. They're right around league average in terms of home runs. These guys are just too good to be league average, as you've got Matt Chapman, George Springer, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. all stuck on between 8 and 9 home runs. Now with Guerrero Jr., Matt Chapman throwing their bow, Bichette up between about a 355 to a 365 on base. And for Bichette, sitting at 329 with 12 home runs, he's been amazing. And we've got guys moving the line. Brandon Belt over the last 35 days has been hitting well above a 300. Alejandro Kirk about a 360 on base as well. But you know it's sort of coming with this team. But at the same time, you just know that Alec Manoah is probably going to give another bad start. Do I think he's going to pick it up a little bit as the season goes along? Yes, it's one of those things where I need to see it to bet on it, though, as well. Now, I did set my total at 8.9. I do think that both of these bullpens are going to be able to come in and do a solid job. And the Blue Jays actually have the best home ERA of any team in the American League. So I do put a little bit of credence there. I'm going to be willing to take a look at the under in this spot. But with the Astros getting a plus 110 or greater, going to be taking them on the money line. Now we have my DK Nation write-up pick 907, 908 on the betting board. It is the Philadelphia Phillies, and they play host to the Detroit Tigers. As Joey Wentz goes for the Tigres, and Aaron Supernola goes for the Phils, and the Phillies anywhere between minus 215 to a minus 224, anywhere between plus 180 and plus 202, the number on Detroit if you're looking at their run line, anywhere between minus 108 to a minus 115 on the Phillies, and the total is 9. The unders anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120, the overs anywhere between even a minus 110, and right a pick here is going to be on this total under. I did set my total more around an 8.3, and for the Phillies, I was willing to lay up to a minus 117 on that run line, did set them at a minus 229 on the money line, so I'm going to be taking a look at them with regards to this side, just because I do think that Aaron Nola is going to be able to pick it up. He's had some struggles recently, giving up 4-plus runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts, and his 4.70 ERA would be his worst ERA since the beginning of the 2016 season. Strikeout numbers are down. He's only getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but Aaron Nola has always been a better pitcher at home than he has been on the road thus far this season. That has been the case as well. 3.86 home ERA compared to a 5.14 ERA on the road. You take a look at him for the entirety of his career, 3.21 home ERA, 4.6 strikeout to walk ratio. That falls to a 3.8 on the road, and the ERA on the road for Nola goes to 4.13 throughout the entirety of his career. And for Joey Wentz, I mean, it's not been a good year for him. He's got a 7.28 ERA. He has been getting completely tattooed himself, perhaps giving up just one run against the Texas Rangers, and albeit a shorter start, 4 1/3 innings. It's going to be able to get him going, and he is backed up by a relatively solid bullpen. You've got a Tigers team that they entered into the day on Sunday, 11th of the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Alex Lang, Jason Foley, supplying a sub 250 ERA, Tyler Holton, right in that pocket as well. Jose Cicierno giving you good innings. That's big, as Wentz has not necessarily been able to lend a whole heck of a lot of length, and I do think that Wentz is doing for a little bit of positivity as well. Opponents are getting a 351 on balls in play against him. That's just a little bit obscene, and I do feel like he's been able to do an okay job of getting some swings and misses, right around 7.8 strikeouts for 9 innings. And prior to the 11-run outburst on Sunday, you've got a Phillies team that over the last 35 days, they were second worst in the National League in terms of OPS, and they were 25th in that category, second fewest home runs in the National League since the beginning of the month of May prior to yesterday as well. As for the Phillies, you've had Kyle Schwarber be able to supply 15 home runs. Nobody else on the roster is north of 7. They do have guys that are able to get on base. There's a lot of singles hitters on the team, like you've been able to have JT Realmuto, Alec Boehm, Amanda Sosa, Cody Clements, all in between about 253 to 265. Nick Castellanos, Bryce Harper, both of these guys hitting at north of a 295. And for Harper, 400 on base. But Harper has only had 3 home runs and a little bit north of 100 on base. So that's been a little bit of an issue. And then you've got a Detroit Tigers punch that they just have been about as offensive as Ned Flanders. They're averaging the fewest runs per game on the road with a little bit less than 3.4. You don't have a single guy on the roster has been able to supply north of 6 home runs. Jason Rogers has the 6 home runs. Now, Riley Green has been incredible. He's hitting about at 330 over the last 35 days. You've got the Zach McKinstry along with Zach Short. Both of these guys have been able to find a way on base, providing north of a 370 on base. And Akil Badu, he's been able to get on base relatively solidly as well. But when it comes to the likes of Javi Baez, who I mentioned before, Jason Rogers, Andy Ibañez, all these guys, they're just not moving the line, hitting at 225 or lower. That has been quite an issue. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, they are number 3 in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA over the last 30 days as well. It was a little bit of a rough start to the season for the bullpen, and they are dealing with Jose Alvarado being currently on the injured list. But even with him out of the fold, you've been able to get good production out of the likes of Connor Brogdon, Jeff Hoffman, Andrew Vasquez. These guys supplying a sub-3.5 ERA. So it's been the likes of Gregory Soto, along with Craig Kimbrell, that has been laying the bullpen down. I do think that the Detroit Tigers are going to continue to be held down, 3 runs or fewer in each of the last 4 games for them. I think that Noah's going to be able to find it. I think we see a little bit of positivity for Joey Wentz as well. My write-up pick, that is going to be on the subtle under. And with the Phillies, I'm willing to back them on the run line, willing to lay up to a -115 there. 9-9, 9-10 on the betting board. It is the Kansas City Royals, and they hit the road to face off against the Miami Marlins. It is going to be Braxton Garrett who's going to be going for the Marlins, and it looks like it's going to be some form of a bullpen game for the Kansas City Royals, which is why this game is off the board now. I am fully expecting that we're going to be seeing Mike Myers in some sort of bulk role, and if that is the case, I did set the Miami Marlins at a -173 on the money line. Would need at least a +112 to lay a run and a half with them. I would need at least a +174 to take a shot on the Royals, and made my total 8.2. As in 8 or less, I'm going to be taking a look at the over 8.5 or higher to the under, and as I do this, it does look like Carlos Hernandez is going to be the opener for the Kansas City Royals, and I still do think that we're going to be seeing some Mike Myers in this spot as well, who has actually been very good for the Kansas City Royals, and you do have someone in Hernandez that is able to lend a few innings as well. He's made a pair of starts this far this season. He completely blew that game against the Colorado Rockies, and he's just pitched on Friday, so I don't expect him to really go north of 2 to 3 innings, but I mean, this is someone that is able to get you a bunch of swings and misses. He's able to throw north of 100 miles per hour. He's just a little bit of a case of Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn, and the Kansas City Royals, currently they are third worst in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. That's not necessarily too terrific, as Josh Shamount has been a complete and utter hot mess for this team. You just have not been able to get a whole heck of a lot of anything as well out of the likes of Taylor Clark and company. Scott Barlow has been a little bit better as the season has gone along, but this is not a team that you want to be trusting in with that regard. And for the Kansas City Royals, they are currently dead last in the big leagues in on-base percentage, and they do have a couple nice bats, like Salvador Perez has been able to give you 12 home runs this far this season. He's hitting about a 275. Vinny Pascantino, Bobby Witt Jr., these are a pair of guys combining for 19 home runs. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., 269 on base. That's an issue. Meanwhile, Pascantino, more around about a 335 on base, but it's the bottom of the fold. It's Drew Waters hitting about a 225 with a 260 on base. Freddie Freeman, MJ Melendez, Hunter Dozier, Nate Eaton, Jackie Bradley Jr., all these guys hitting at 220 or lower. That's an issue. Now, prior to their series against the Oakland A's, Miami Marlins were dead last in the National League in terms of runs per game. They've been able to up that a little bit, as you got Orioles Solera right now is just absolutely ripping the cover off the ball. He's been able to slug out 17 home runs thus far this season. He has had 6 in the last 15 days. He's on a run. And for Luis Arias, he just continues to hit. We're wondering when we're going to see regression here, but he continues to hit a 392. Now, you need a little bit more from the bottom of the fold with this team as well, as you've currently got Peyton Butterick, along with Gene Segura, Jacob Stallings sitting below the Mendoza line of 200, but Joey Wendell starting to pick it up. He got off to a really bad start to start the season, and still has not been great this far this season, but you know what? He's hitting more like a 340 in terms of his on base over the last 30 days. Yuli Gurriel, Brian De La Cruz, hitting between about a 290 to a 300, along with AC Sanchez. That's been able to help them out as well. For the Miami Marlins, not a great bullpen, but certainly not a terrible bullpen now that you've got JT Chargois back in full with the Marlins, who are right around 19th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, as Brian Hoying has actually been halfway decent since putting him in the bullpen. Steve Dorkert, Andrew Nardi, they will give you a sub-3.5 ERA, though we are seeing Dom Floro start to give up some runs as well. So this is a circumstance where I'd be willing to take a plus 112 or greater on the run line of the Marlins. And with Braxton Garrett, I do think that he's going to be able to keep this relatively low scoring as well. He did get lit up for those 11 runs in that start against the Atlanta Braves, but he's now given up a combined 4 runs in his last 4 starts. You take out that Atlanta Braves start, and I mean, thus far this season, he's supposed to get up an ERA that's right around 240 when that's excluded, has been giving up a little bit of the deep ball, but 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, his walks per 9 rate, that is hovering just a little bit above 2, so I really am impressed with what I'm seeing out of Braxton Garrett. So set the Marlins at a minus 173 on the money line, will take a plus 112 or greater on the run line, would need at least a plus 174 to take a shot on the Royals, and 8 or less, taking a look at the over, 8.5 or higher to the under, 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. It is the Pittsburgh Pirates playing OC Oakland A's. J.P. Sears is going to be on the bump for Oakland, and you don't mess with a Johan Oviedo is on the bump for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh opened up at a minus 210. Money is coming on Oakland. Anywhere between minus 185 to minus 185 is your number on the Buccos. Meanwhile, anywhere between plus 160 and plus 170, the price on Oakland. 8.5 is the total. Over and under are both at minus 110, and I'm going to be willing to lay the run line of the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. You're seeing that right in the neighborhood, about a plus 105 in most spots, and with the Pittsburgh Pirates, I was willing to go up to a minus 115. Now, I can see why some of the team has been coming in, because the one thing with the Oakland A's is that they've got one good starter right now, and that'd be J.P. Sears. Now, when Mason Miller gets back in the fold, that's going to be able to fortify them a little bit, but for J.P. Sears, he's actually pitched really well, as he's given up a combined 6 earned runs over the course of his last 4 starts. And the problem is, the team just can't get him to the window, because this bullpen is one of the worst that we have ever seen. You take a look at this Oakland A's bullpen ERA, and currently it is a whopping 6.16. No other team is worse than a 4.82. For perspective, so, I mean, that's not great when you've got guys like Shintaro Fujinami along with Sammy Long and company coming out of the bullpen. It's not great. Richard Lovelady has actually been halfway decent for them, but man, it's relatively rough. And for J.P. Sears, he is someone that does really rely upon getting soft contact, as he only gets right around 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. The command is good, though. He's been able to give up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. He is a better home pitcher than he is a road pitcher, though. He's given up an ERA of right around about a 5.97 on the road. Meanwhile, at home, this drops to about a 2.57. That's because it's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in Oakland, and he has been giving up right around 2 home runs per 9 innings. Meanwhile, with Mr. Johan Oviedo, he's been able to do a good job of being able to reduce the deep ball, and after he had a really bad stretch from like early May into late April, he's been able to pick it up, as he has allowed now a combined 6 runs over the course of his last 4 starts. Walks are an issue. At least 3 walks were entered in 4 out of his last 5 starts, and overall for the season, about 4.6 and 4.7 walks per 9 innings, but he's getting about 8.5 punch outs per 9 innings. He's been a little bit better than he has been on the road as well, and he's backed up by a bullpen that, I mean, it certainly is better than that of the Oakland A's. As for the Pittsburgh Pirates, this far this season, they've been a top 10 bullpen throughout. They're right now clocking in right around 7th, as you've got a very good closer in David Benar, but Dory Moretta has been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Someone like an Jose Hernandez has come in, held down the fort with a sub-3 ERA. Colin Holderman, sub-3 ERA. So these guys have really produced. Meanwhile, the lineup, it has been rough, as the team has scored 4 runs or fewer in 23 out of their last 28 games. Yeah, that has been very much less than savory for this bunch, but you know what? You are going for 1 up against this Oakland A's bullpen, and for 2, you do have guys who are still able to put bat to ball. Brian Reynolds has continued it right around about a 280 for this bunch. Now, the big thing for this team, which is why we have seen them since the beginning of the month of May hitting below a 220, is that so many guys that were overperforming, like Tupico Americano, Carlos Santana, guys like this, they have fallen back to the pack a little bit, and they're still getting on base a little bit. Someone like Jack Swinitzky, sitting about a 235, he's been able to give the team 11 home runs this far this season. 350 on base. Andrew McCutchen, more around about a 370 on base as well, but you just knew that there was going to be a little bit of a fall off with some of these guys, and then you've got O'Neill Cruz on the injured list. That has certainly not helped them out as well, but I mean, for the Oakland A's, they are dead last in the league in terms of batting average. They are dead last in the league in terms of runs per game. They do hit a little bit better when they are on the road rather than when they are at home, but they're hitting a 218 as a collective thus far this season. And it's not like it's terrific on the road. They're hitting about a 229, and we've seen a big, giant cool down with Brent Rooker. He's been able to give you 11 home runs this far this season, about a 350 on base, but he's had just 2 home runs over the last 30 days. So that's not been great. Esteri Ruiz, he's been able to do a nice job. He currently leads the league in stolen bases, but there's so many guys at the bottom of the fold, like Elamendiz Diaz, Tony Kemp, Nick Allen, Kevin Smith, Seth Brown, all hitting at 205 or lower. Just an unbackable side in this spot. So with the Pirates, I'm going to be one to lay it on the run line. And I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game. The Pirates have really been struggling with their bats. So I did set this total at a 7.6. I'm going to be one to dive in on the under and the run line of the Pittsburgh Pirates. 9-13, 9-14 on the betting board. The Walker Texas Rangers play OC St. Louis Cardinals. We know Adam Wainwright is going to be on the bump for St. Louis. And Martin Perez is on the bump for Texas. Texas is back to being a favorite of anywhere between minus 120 to a minus 125, anywhere between plus 105 and plus 115. Your number on St. Louis, 9.5 is the total. The over is anywhere between minus 105 to minus 120. Under is anywhere between even and minus 115. And for the Rangers, I did set them at a minus 137. You've got Adam Wainwright, who has looked a little bit better in his last third or two, but I mean, this guy is ancient. He's not been able to really miss any bats whatsoever. You knew that he wasn't going to be getting supreme strikeout numbers, but you're relying upon a lot of soft contact. He has not been able to deliver that thus far this season, as he has made 5 starts. He has given up at least 3 runs at every one of them. Now, he did have a start against the Dodgers where 3 of the runs that he gave up were unearned, but my goodness, it is not necessarily going too terrific on that front. Doing a good job of being able to locate, as he's giving up right around 2.7 walks per 9 innings. And he's backed up by a bullpen that it's not amazing, but it's not bad. And that's one place where the St. Louis Cardinals are going to have an advantage. They're 15th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. And the Texas Rangers, well, they are currently 24th. But if you take a look at the last 30 days for the Texas Rangers bullpen, they are right there with the Tampa Bay Rays in terms of last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, as well as the Oakland A's, because of course the Oakland A's are there. But and Jeter Hernandez, Cole Reagan's supposed to go up north of a 5 ERA. That's been a big giant issue for this team. On top of that, you've been having so many guys trying to come in and being able to hold down the fort that just have not been able to do so. Josh Sabourin's north of 4 ERA. Now, I will say Will Smith, Jose Leclerc, hovering right around about a 3.31 ERA. That's not too bad, and Brock Burke is starting to pick it up as well. But that has been an issue for a Texas Rangers team that currently leads the league in terms of runs per game. Adolis Garcia along Josh Young, a combined 26 home runs thus far this season. There's just no breaks in this lineup. I mean, after 3 innings in their game on Sunday, all but one of the players in the starting lineup had at least one hit. They now have Mitch Garver back in the fold. He, Ezekiel Duran, Marcus Semien, Travis Jankowski, Leody Taveras, Corey Seager are all hitting at least a 300. Every one of these guys at least a 354 on base. Do I think we're going to see a little bit of regression? Yes, this is not sustainable in my opinion, but my goodness, is it fun to watch. You've got Nate Lowe giving you about a 355 on base as well. You do have a Cardinals bullpen that I think he's going to be able to do an okay job of helping out Adam Wainwright, as you've been able to get some relatively solid innings of Giovanni Gallegos since that appearance that he had against Pittsburgh Pirates a couple days ago. He's been able to do an okay job of being able to hold down the fort. You've gotten some good production out of Chris Drayton, right around about a 3.5 ERA. Ryan Elsley has been a little bit up and down, but I do think that he's going to be able to round into form as well. But the big thing is that the St. Louis Cardinals, they're just not the same offensive team on the road than at home. At home, right around 5.5 runs per game. On the road, more around about 4 to 4.1 runs per contest after they came up snake eyes the last few days against the Pittsburgh Pirates. You do have Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, both at 10 home runs this far this season, but Arenado only about a 315 on base. Goldschmidt still giving you that 400 on bases. It's really been Nolan Gorman who's been the best hitter for the team, hitting about a 270, 14 bombs as far this season. But you've got guys towards the bottom that just have not been able to develop. They brought Jordan Walker back up to the big leagues, but you got to wonder if they shook his confidence. Lars Newbar about a 380 on base, but you've seen so many of these guys, like Dylan Carlson, Tyler O'Neill, have been banged up all season long. But even when they've been out there, these two guys, along with Alec Burleson, hitting between about a 222, 231. Yepez has not been able to get on base. That has been big, along with Wilson Contreras just not living up to his contract right now. So I do think that there's some value here with the Texas Rangers. And I do think that Martin Perez is going to be overrated in a little bit as well. He has had some really bad starts recently. This is a man that has given up at least four runs and now three out of his last five starts, posted up in May, a 691 ERA. Had a 241 ERA, though, in the month of April. And you just take a look at some of the results that he had, and he's gotten a little bit unlucky on balls in play. I do think that he's going to be able to turn it around, because with Martin Perez, whenever he's able to keep the walks down, typically he's able to have success. When he doesn't keep the walks down, that's when things get really bad. But he's giving up about three walks per nine innings. Throughout his career, more like 3.2 walks per nine innings. So I do think that he's going to be able to rein it in a little bit more against the Cardinals team that just has not been able to get it going with the bats on the road. So I did set my total to 9.2. You're at a 9.5. Looking at the under, banking on Perez and Wainwright being able to pick it up just a little bit. But one trust in the Texas Rangers in the spot. Set them at a minus 137. So take the Rangers money line and the under. We wrap things up with 9.15, 9.16 on the main board. The Boston Red Sox playoffs to the Tampa Bay Rays. Shane McClanahan goes for the Rays and Brian Bello is on the bump for Boston. Boston is an underdog of anywhere between plus 140 and plus 145. Meanwhile, with the Tampa Bay Rays, they are anywhere between minus 155 to minus 165 favorites, with 9 being your total. Under is between minus 115 to a minus 120, and the over is anywhere between even a minus 105. With the Rays, I set them at a minus 186 on the money line, and if you're looking at that run line, finding it at even money, I was willing to lay up to a minus 115. I'm going to be taking a look at that run line. With Brian Bello, he's actually picked it up. Two runs or fewer surrendered in each out of his last five starts. I do think that he is going to be doing for a little bit of negative regression, because for one, he's pitching in a hitter's paradise out there in Fenway Park. That is not necessarily too terrific, and that's noted by the fact that the Boston Red Sox have the most demonstrative home and road splits with regards to their offense as well, because you take a look at this Red Sox team, they've been playing above their skis a little bit, in my opinion, with regards to just hitting in general, because they're hitting at home about a 293 in terms of their batting average compared to a 228 on the road. Those are bigger splits than we find with the Colorado Rockies at Coors, which I think is just absolutely ridiculous. But getting back to Mr. Bello, he's posted up a 389 ERA, about a 474 fielding independent. He's giving up a little bit over three walks per nine innings, and he's giving up our contact, 1.6 home runs per nine innings. And guess who he goes up against? The team that leads the league in terms of home runs with the Tampa Bay Rays. As you've got Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena, Josh Lowe, all hitting at least a 287, all with a double-figure amount of home runs thus far this season, as you've had Isaac Paredes give you about a 345 on base. I'm not even kidding here. You've got 13 different guys for the Tampa Bay Rays who have been able to supply at least 7 home runs thus far this season, including Jose Siri. He's good out there in the field. He's getting a home run every about 11.5 at-bats. He has been terrific. You've been able to get some big-time production of Harold Ramirez. He's sitting right around a 300 with 8 bombs as well. Now, the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen has been pretty much dead last in terms of ERA over the last 3 days, but now they're getting healthier. They pick up Robert Stevenson from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That should be able to help them out a little bit. They're trying a reclamation project for Jake Diekman. I'm not sure how that's going to go, but I mean, it was clear that Jason Adam, Colin Pouché, they were just getting outworked a little bit too much. And for Shane McClanahan, he should be able to offer that bullpen a little bit of relief. As thus far this season, for Mr. Shane McClanahan, he has given up two runs or fewer in all but one of his starts thus far this season. 207 ERA. His strikeouts per nine rate is well above 10.5. He has been giving up a few more walks than you'd like. He is up right around 3.7, 3.8 walks per nine innings. He's cleaned that up a little bit, but by and large, has been able to do an absolutely amazing job. And for the Boston Red Sox, it's not like they necessarily have the world's greatest bullpen as well. If you take a look at the raw ERA, it's far from terrible at 11th, but Kenley Jansen proves to be very, very unreliable at times. You got the likes of Brandon Bernardino, Justin Garza, who are currently performing a little bit above their skis. You're without John Schreiber now. Chris Martin has been very good in this bullpen, but Caleb Ort is someone that you don't want to be trusting in. Now with the Red Sox, they've only got really one main masher in terms of this offense that has been so rock solid. You've got Rafael Devers slugging out 13 home runs. Nobody else more than 7, as you've got just a lot of guys in general that move the line to make these home runs worth like 2-run shots, 3-run shots, with the likes of Remy Altapia, Justin Turner, Jaron Duran, giving you an on-base percentage between a 333 through a 350. Pablo Reyes is hitting nearly a 295 along threes from McGuire. So these guys have been terrific. Masataka Yoshida, nearly a 400 on base. He's got 7 home runs. Rob Revsnyder has done a good job of being able to move the line as well. But I do think that McClanahan is going to be able to land a good start. So I did set my total at an 8.9. If we would get down to an 8.5, I'd be willing to take a look at the over just because these lineups are prolific. But I'm going to be willing to dive in on the under in the spot. I'm willing to trust in the race on the run line. And that will wrap things up for the Monday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Visa Family and Podcast. A big thanks to Jovan Alford. Does great work over at Sporting News. He joined me in the live segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, The Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @JuneIn_D1. Keep in mind, letter CM, maybe does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I will be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, which means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for getting it.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.